Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
About joy. I said, "What? He can't preach my message. I've been working hard on this message." And God said, "He's not preaching your message. He's preaching exactly what we all need to hear right now." And so this morning, part two of Cheer Up. Amen. You know, what was really cool is as he began to preach and as he began to share, he started sharing different things in his message that I had actually wrote down in my message. And I was like, "Yeah, God, that's the word that you want us to hear. The message of joy." And so we're going to get right into it this morning. Church, have you ever had a season where things just don't go your way? Yeah. And you come to a point where you think, how can things get any worse? Well, let me show you this morning how things can get worse, okay? Let's throw up the first picture I have for you this morning, okay? There are some of you this morning that are going, "Wow, look at that trout," right? That is a beautiful trout. And then there are some of you who are going, "Yeah, but what about the bear," right? And so things are going to go south really fast, aren't they? They're about to go south, and I'm going to switch here to my other microphone, if I could.
And so, how can things get any worse than that?
And so let's turn to our next picture, and I'll show you.
Okay, things can get worse if this is your plumber, right? I don't even know how you get it to that point. Anybody? How does that happen? I'm not sure you can put another elbow or another coupling or anything else in there. I'm not sure it can happen. A man must have been the plumber, right? Because women wouldn't do that, right? Come on, that's crazy. How can it get any worse? Let's go to the next picture. Oh, that's disgusting. So how can things get any worse? Well, this could be your first day on the mission field. And guess what's for dinner? Right? I mean, you're supposed to eat what is ever put in front of you, right? I'm not sure I could do that. Woo! Wow. Yeah, I don't think I could. You know, thank you, Jesus, I love you. But I suppose if it means whether or not I'm going to get to heaven, I might nibble on one. But no. How can things get any worse? Next picture. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Come on. You know, we're all unique, aren't we? God made us different. All of us have something different about us. And so if this is what you love to do, okay, all right. But if you find yourself doing this for a living and it's not your cup of tea, well then, for crying out loud, find another job, right? That's just embarrassing. I'm not sure. In my opinion, I'm not sure it can get any worse than that, but maybe it can. Let's see. All right. You know, the first time I saw this picture, I thought, okay, why doesn't he just pick up the stake and chuck it over the fence? Right? Why dangle yourself over a hungry crocodile holding a couple chunks of meat? I think you're just asking for trouble, right? It's going to get from bad to worse really fast, isn't it? I think so. Let's see what the next picture has for us. Oh, wow. So it's going to get worse if this is your dog. Okay, I'm just saying, you know. I know that they say there's a pet for everybody, but You know, praise God if you find him cute and cuddly, but he looks like a rat to me. How can things get any worse? I think we have one more picture to show you. That's it. Okay. All right. So, do we have bad days? Yeah. And can we have exceptionally bad days sometimes? Yeah. Bad seasons? I think so. But can we experience hardship and difficulties and struggles and trials and still be a carrier, a vessel for joy? And so I think to understand this question, we must first understand the difference between happiness versus joy. And so we're going to look at the differences between happiness and joy. So happiness is defined as a feeling or emotion that comes over you when you know life is good and you can't help but smile. Happiness can be defined as enjoyment, pleasure, satisfaction in the moment, usually coming from an outside influence, and can be temporary or fleeting. Joy, on the other hand, is a constant state of mind and or orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. It is something that is deep-seated and everlasting. Joy is more than happiness in the moment. Joy is a deep and abiding presence of contentment and peace. So by definition, happiness typically comes from an outside source and is temporary, while joy is an inside job and everlasting. So the title of my message this morning is Joy, an Inside Job. You see, I believe that the pursuit of happiness can be the counterfeit of joy. And so there are those who seek after outside influences and things and ways of escape in order of finding inner fulfillment because they don't understand the differences between happiness versus joy. And so I'm going to share something with you this morning that makes me happy. So after service, there are cookies downstairs for everybody. But listen. I love cookies. Cookies make me happy. They do. Ask my family. Okay? There's just something about all that crispy goodness, right, surrounding those chocolatey morsels that I can't get enough of. Okay? They just make me smile. I love me some cookies. Anybody else love cookies? Come on, it's a cookie. Right? Who doesn't love cookies? I love me some cookies. But listen. Now that my cookie is gone, I'm already wanting my next cookie. And tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, my happy cookie time with y'all will just be a thing of the past. Right? Poof, my cookie's gone, right? And so that cookie I just ate can't make me happy anymore. And it's already proven itself by definition and by application that it can't offer me everlasting joy. But boy, in the moment, I love me some cookies. So let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, and let's read that together this morning. It says this, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Pay particular attention to the word faith as we continue. "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade like my cookie. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, somehow joy and faith are connected. And we're going to look at that today. You see, according to the scripture, for the believer, joy is a constant and always available despite outside influences and circumstances that are beyond our control. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and this is out of the Message Bible, it says, I pray for good fortune in everything you do. Everything. And for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper be, is different than what brings me joy and satisfies my soul. You see, the pursuit of happiness can be dangerous. Dangerous. Because it never truly satisfies. It corrupts. It lies. It deceives. And ultimately, it destroys. You just ask anybody in Hollywood, right? People who seem to have everything on the outside, but their lives are a mess, right? You see, I'm not saying that happiness is a bad thing this morning. What I am saying is that in Christ, happiness and joy go hand in hand. But apart from Christ, the pursuit of happiness only disappoints. To truly be fulfilled and content, you must first have joy. Happiness is a perk. I'm not sure you can even truly be happy without joy. You see, happiness won't get you through the hard times, will it? It's like a Band-Aid. It only temporarily covers the wound. And I love that Pastor Bob shared that same analogy last Sunday. So cool how God does things. You see, there are going to be days, church, where we don't get our cookie. And if we don't have joy, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? I'm only using cookies as an example this morning because I know there are far greater pains. There are far greater losses. There are far greater difficulties that can never be compared to a cookie, right? In Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, it kind of catches this if you listen to it. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So can we still have joy when everything on the outside goes south? Yes. I'm telling you we can. The scripture is telling us that we can. Because joy is an act of faith, church. You see, the most authentic that we can be comes from an act of faith. The greatest demonstration of faith is to rejoice when we don't feel like rejoicing, isn't it? Hallelujah. In the world, we rejoice because we're happy. But in the kingdom, we have joy because we rejoice. You see, in the kingdom, joy follows the act of rejoicing. And it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle because we have to harness so many different feelings, right? And emotions and thoughts. But when we do harness them and present the offering and say, God, I'm going to rejoice just because you say rejoice, then that dark cloud can't stay where there is a demonstration of faith that produces joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that your times of sadness aren't real, that your struggle isn't real, that your times of depression isn't real. But what I am saying is that God has released a promise to you and to me that can be accessed by faith. And it can only be accessed by faith because your feelings and your emotions and your thoughts and in some cases even your body chemistry is telling you differently. But by faith, you have power and authority to bring all of that into submission, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, do these three things all of the time. Be always thankful, always joyful, and pray always about everything. Church, if we want joy, number one, we've got to believe that it's available to us. And number two, do everything we can to get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. Hallelujah. He rewards those who go after him. Imagine that. It looks to me like joy is going to require something from us, doesn't it? But sometimes we want blessing without the burden of effort. God, I want you to bless me with joy because I have a need, but I don't want to study. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to give. I don't want to sacrifice. How long do we pray for the harvest but refuse to push the plow? Maybe we're locked out of the harvest of joy because we refuse to participate in the sacrifice. That hit me right between the eyes when I read it. How long? John 16:24 says this, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. Ask, go after it, pursue it. And look what it says there, and your joy will be complete. Hallelujah. Is there a pattern, I think? I think there is. You see, if we want joy, we need to put in the time that it takes to build a relationship with Jesus. And when we do, we will discover that we have access to God's grace. It abides in us and flows through us. We are adopted sons and daughters. We have an inheritance. We are citizens of heaven. We have been renewed. The old is gone and the new has come. We are accepted into the beloved. We are reconciled unto God, meaning brought back into harmony with our Creator. We have been forgiven, past, present, and future. We have eternal life. We have peace with God. We have become friends of God. Our names are known and written down in heaven. We have fellowship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have a mansion built by God. We have received an anointing. The Holy Spirit lives in us, both now and forever. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. He will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. We have victory over sin. We were born for good works. We are the recipients of spiritual blessings. We are kings and queens. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are members of the body of Christ. We are God's dwelling place. We are filled with power from on high. We no longer are bound by sin and shame. We have hope and purpose. We have peace beyond all understanding. We have the power to tread on serpents and cast out demons. Healing and long life belongs to us, and the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are strengthened by joy from the inside out. So what comes at us from the outside has no authority here. Hallelujah. That's joy. That's where joy comes from, church. If we want real joy, we must stop depending on temporary things and outside influences to make us happy. Joy comes when we invest into the kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. You see, I fought the same battle for years until I went to work on my relationship with Jesus. You see, for the longest time, church, I was convinced that I was a failure. That I would never amount to anything. Even people of influence within my life spoke that into my life. And so all the way up through my upbringing, I believed it. And so everything I tried in school, all my attempts to be a good student, ended up in failure. I'm embarrassed to even tell you what my grade point average was. And when I got older, even the jobs I pursued, right? I only pursued jobs that I knew I could handle. And I set the bar really, really low, church. Even being up here on stage, I hear the enemy whispering, "Who do you think you are?" You see, the problem is that for the longest time, I believed him. I believed him. And when you believe something about yourself, it takes an act of faith to stomp on the devil's head. Did you hear me? It takes an act of faith to stomp on his head. So here I stand. Praise God. You see, I don't believe I'm a failure anymore. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I went on to college after I began this relationship with Jesus, and I became one of the top 10 students in the entire college. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm simply telling you this is the difference that Jesus makes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, he turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. I will praise you forever. Hallelujah. He's my joy. You see, as stewards of joy, it's our job to access that joy and to apply it in our lives. And I've learned that joy is an inside job, not a response to an outside influence, good or bad. And so here we are, entering into Christmas, right? And we all know Christmas as the season of joy. But we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different histories. We've all had different experiences. We're not all cut from the same mold, right? And so for some of us, when we think about Christmas, we have nothing but good memories, right? And celebration and joy and family. But there are those of us who don't share Christmas the same way, aren't there? Some of us don't have happy memories of this season because of difficulties or because of upbringing or all those things. You know what I'm talking about. And so it's more difficult for those to enter into the season of joy. And so I have a word for you this morning. God gave me this word to share with you. He said, we all sit at the same table and we all partake of the king's share. We all sit at the same table and we all partake of the king's share this morning. Because we're believers, because we love Jesus, and because Jesus makes all the difference in the world. He's our joy. He's our joy. And by faith, we step into that joy and we claim it as our own. Every day, every morning we wake up. Thank you, God, for your joy. Despite what you're feeling, despite your circumstances, we step into that joy. And when we do, and we focus on God, and we enter into relationship with Jesus, we begin to learn all of those things off of that list that I read. And you can't help but be excited about Jesus. Invest in the kingdom. Invest in the kingdom. You want joy? Give him your best. Give him your best. So this morning, I'm going to ask everybody to hold hands this morning. And we're going to end this way. I'm asking everybody to hold one another's hands, because since we all sit at the same table, I want you to pray for that person to the left of you and to that person to the right of you, and just pray for a double portion of joy for each and every one of us this morning. Can we do that? I'll go ahead and lead the prayer, but just believe for joy this holiday season. Amen? So, Father, God, I just thank you for joy, God. Father, I thank you that you turn our sorrow, our wailing into dancing, God. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for a double portion of joy to enter every single person right now in Jesus' name, despite outside influence. Because, God, it is you that provides all our needs according to your riches and glory. It is you that fills us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet with joy everlasting, God. So right now in Jesus' name, Father, touch each person with an extra share, an extra dose of your joy. And may all of us sit under the tree this Christmas. And if you're not sitting under a tree, find some place to sit, find some place to go, and enjoy the season with like-minded people, like-minded believers, and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Father God, thank you that we all sit at the same table today. Thank you that we all partake in the King's share together. We love you. We praise you. We celebrate you. By faith, we enjoy your blessings, your love, your goodness toward us. We pray all of this in the great and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, give him a big hand this morning. Awesome. 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 Don't take that cookie. Don't take that cookie. There's cookies downstairs. The Lord is speaking to me, and he's like, what's your cookie? You know, because there's temporary things that we all like. You know, it might not necessarily be food, or it could be, but could be activities and things we do and things that have endings, you know. And you know, you guys know one of my happy places to be on the mountain skiing. So I was up there yesterday, and I can get depressed driving back down the mountain into the rain. When you're up there in the beautiful snow and the sun, yesterday it was sunny, it was gorgeous, and you drive back down through the trees, it's dark, it's raining, it's like, oh, you know, I want to go back. Well, my joy isn't depending upon the weather or where I'm at or what I'm doing. Love to go, but my joy is eternal and lives in me. No matter what I'm doing or where I'm going or what the Lord would have me to do or what activity or what job or what responsibility I have. So what's your cookie? I guess this also helped me to lose weight, because I'm serious, because I looked at food as a reward or a joy, you know, and I was like, okay, I don't need that to have joy, you know. I don't need to eat all those things in order to feel good or to medicate myself. I can set it aside. I can eat a salad, you know, and I can go to a party and not have to indulge, thinking that this is the last time I'll ever see cookies ever again. That, because that's the way I used to think. And if I don't eat them all now, I'll never have another brownie ever again in my whole life if I don't get at least 7 of them, you know. I mean, we think that way. I at least I did. And I still fight that battle, you know. Food, medicating myself with food and rewarding myself with food. The devil, man, he wants to really, he's after us. You know, one last thing, I'll let you go. But like I said last week, I had that back operation a couple years ago. And last week, I'm up on the mountain all day skiing. I volunteer up in Mount Hood. All day skiing. And then the next day, I'm loading the dishwasher. Sibylle was there. Lisa was there. I bend down to load a dish in the dishwasher, and all of a sudden, the back just cracks and goes out. I mean, to the point where I can't hardly move. And immediately the devil is like, it's back. Slip disc. You know, you have visions of operation. Just the lies coming back to you that here it is again. You're going to have to be cut into. I mean, all those lies. And I just, at that point, I had made a decision. I am not going to speak out. I refuse to speak out those things that I'm thinking. Okay? I just pulled a muscle. That's all. It will be fine. And I will be completely normal again, pain-free. Well, it's taken almost a week to get to the point where, actually, this morning I feel better than I have the past whole week. But dealing with all of those lies and not giving voice to the enemy, you know, which I really truly believe that when you give voice to the enemy, you invite those things into your life to become reality. You know what I mean? We actually invite the enemy to come in to put sickness. We invite sickness and disease on ourselves by what we say out of our mouth. My confession is, my back is healthy, I am strong, I am pain-free, I will not have to have an operation again. For the rest of my life, my back is normal in Jesus' name. Even to the point where I couldn't even put on my left sock again, which I had before, I had that problem before. I couldn't even reach down to get my left leg up to put my left sock on. It hurt so bad. You know, so sometimes you just gotta grunt and groan and smile and say, I've got the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not only our spiritual strength, it is our physical strength. it produces joy, the inside joy, that eternal joy produces physical strength on the inside of us, for us to live our lives physically well and strong as well. So there's a lot in our lives is affected by the absence or the abundance of joy. A lot in our lives, spirit, soul, and body. It's a huge concept of living a successful Christian life. Really, really is amazing, Don. I challenged Don this week. I said, Zap is coming. You notice we only did two worship songs, and Don's like, ah. I'm like, I have a whole message, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I says, well, I'm going to give you 25 minutes. So he's like, I saw it in his face. He's kind of freaking out a little bit. I was like, 25 minutes? You know, so he called me up and goes, I don't know if I can do it. I'm like, you know what? You can do it. And you did. And it was good. It was awesome. Just good. A good meal. Good. Just perfect, you know. Perfect message. We leave here full. And enriched and encouraged. So, really, really good. Let's all stand up. Love you today. Turn to somebody. Express your joy and your love for the Lord. Give somebody a hug. Love on somebody. Encourage somebody. Give them a word this morning. Bless them. We thank you so much. We see you teenagers Wednesday night. Christmas party. Christmas party for the youth Wednesday night. Have a great week. Thank you for coming to City Park Church. If anybody needs prayer, we'll be up front here.
Wish that I was there on that silent night.